What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back. It's 26 degrees. Miami Hurricane Football Bob Shop Talk. It's your main man, Larian, in the building. Ready to talk a little Canes football, man. Beautiful day in Florida. I don't think I'm moving out of Florida. I think this is my new home. I'm looking at moving up north just a little bit, up to like Edgewater, which is not jack shit though, but it's like for work and shit. So, but I still think we're gonna keep it in Florida, man. Old lady like it. I like it. My money good. Man, we're gonna keep it here, man. But today, outside of my life, we're gonna talk a little Canes football, man. We got our new running back coach, we got our new tight end coach, we got a big commitment. And spring training going on. So we're going to delve into all that a little bit. We actually did a show where we had talked about the coach, but we had some technical difficulties, so we had to scrap that. That's why we coming at it a little late on that one, but figured might as well circle back and holler at y'all and just give y'all our thoughts on it. So with no further ado, man, got my main man, X, the real field general, in the building. Say what up.
What up, what up, what up? Glad to be back on, man. Gonna talk some Canes stuff. Got a lot of info on recruiting, what's going on with the football team. I'm gonna drop some news about what's going on with the football team. It is not surprising to me, but
right.
But you guys probably I don't know if y'all might like it, y'all might not like it, but
I can't wait. I can't wait. We got Chef D-Rob in the building too.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Hey, man, it's a beautiful day here in Virginia. Well, it's like probably like 80 degrees right now. Wind is a little. The only thing is, well, my allergy is about to start acting up, man, because, you know, boy, that pollen out here does not play.
Nah, that's real.
You know, I heard the pollen in Atlanta and Georgia is kind of like some people told me that's the worst. Like,
that's gangster. It's gangster for sure. It's bad everywhere right now, though. You know, spring in the air. So, yeah, I know I got a black truck, too. So, yeah, I tell it all. As soon as I go out there and look at that truck, I'm like, uh-oh. It is.
Yeah, it's bad in Georgia. But since I think here, I think it's real bad. I'm talking about, like, it's green pollen everywhere. Once that pollen hit, it's green pollen everywhere. The truck, everything. That's why I don't even wash my when it's pollen season, I was like, man, it's no use in washing the car, because as soon as you go through the drive through, it's gonna be right back green again. So I just wait. I don't even worry about it.
Yeah, I got one of them little automatic services, so I spin it through there real quick just to knock it off. That about it, man. I ain't I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, bro, I ain't never washed that truck since I had it. And they're like, what? I was like, nah, hell nah. I take it right through that drive-through service. I vacuum it. I'm like, man, nobody feel like washing no damn truck. No, I got it.
I'm going to tell you, so funny, I just put one of those automatic wash things so my wife, she could go through the, and she still ain't do it. I say, you know, you can use the thing anytime you want to.
Anytime.
I'm like, go. She like, oh, I just don't be having time. I'm like, you be having time. It ain't gonna take nothing but 5 minutes. Like, just bruh, go.
Same shit. I take mine. We have to trade cars. She got the same thing, right? And it's close to us too. It's not even that far. So I'd be like, just take the truck, man. Let me run that down. I was like, it looked like hell and high water. Your ass will not go and down. Just run it through. It's right around the corner from the house. It's not on her like path straight from like work to home, but it's like literally 5-6 minutes away from the crib.
It ain't no out the way thing, man.
Yeah.
That 5 minutes ain't gonna hurt.
Man, they gonna do everything except what they supposed to do. But it is what it is. Anyway, let's get into it, man. I guess we'll start. You know, we hear time after time, year after year, even though it's exaggerated, And I think it's exaggerated because a lot of these guys, you know, haven't quite panned out to what people thought they would be. But, you know, we don't get the five-star wide receivers out of South Florida. We don't get the top-tier receivers out of South Florida. And there's some truth to it, but like X pointed out all the time, y'all exaggerating that greatly. It's just that these, you know, a Chance Robinson didn't pan out like we would hope, that a Noodles didn't pan out like we hope, JoJo didn't pan out how we hope. We getting them. Are we getting every single one? No, you're not going to get every single one. But are we letting everybody out of the backyard? Nah, it's a false narrative. You know, you just got to you got to hope the eval's right and the development is right and these guys turn into who you want them to be. You know, Malachi was a four-star, high four-star before the reclass, which dropped him down to a three.
Stayed in this class, he'd have been a high four-star. He'd have been like a 96, something like that. So
right. He would have been up there just, I mean, look what he's doing now. We imagine what his production would have been if he would have stayed in high school. They might want to go ahead and give him that fifth star, you know, but they won't because of his height. You know, that's the thing people don't realize too, a lot or fail to look at is a lot of the star ranking systems is just about who they think going to go to the NFL, and a lot of that is just based on measurables. So, yeah,
but what you call it, what's his name? Ivan, he explained a lot of it got to do too, also with the you know, the demographics about it, you know what I'm saying? Because they can't give every kid in South Florida a five star, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you only could give, so just say they got an average of only 35 five stars a year.
Right.
South Florida can't have 15 of them. That's, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, let's not do that. You know what I'm saying? We got to give five stars to other kids around the nation. So,
yeah, Texas. Them, like, you know,
kids in South Florida, they care, but they don't because they automatically think they just better than anybody else anyway. So,
right. Yeah. That star, like, yeah, you can rob them with that little star. They'll get to show their skills and talent in these all-star games. And when they play these, you know, cross-country teams, when they get, these rare opportunities to play like a Bishop Gorman or a Mater D or whatever you may have. Or even if you just go to like the IMG where you mix up the talent from all over the country, they get to measure themselves up against, you know, the top guys in Cali, the top guys in Texas, so on and so forth, depending on wherever they come from. But, yeah, we got a big fish in the boat early.
That was something that was bound to happen.
Right.
I don't know. You know, a lot of people probably had doubts because they were like Ohio State or Alabama, Ole Miss, because Lane Kiffin was recruiting them real, real heavy. They even thought that Syracuse had an opportunity because of his partner, Calvin Russell, went there. But it was always Miami. His family is Miami. Like they might beat you up about Miami. Like they might. like I kept telling people last year, I was like, it was just a matter of time. You know, he was going to try to reclassify also, but it just happened. It was going to happen too late where he wasn't going to be able to get into the class. So he's going to stick with his class, and he's dynamic, man. We talk about Nick Nanier, man. I don't know if we've seen a receiver like this in a while. And I'm even saying, like, you know, you got JJ, you got Malachi. Mm-hmm. But his attitude, the way he plays the game is just, it's so Miami. You know, like he'll take on that challenge, like, If just say a defender come in and be like, man, you ain't gonna catch the ball, man. Nick is finna do some Michael Jordan type stuff. So I'm like, you telling me I can't do what? Then he could play defense. Yeah, this kid is just man. He just transferred from Northwestern to Kara City. He's running track. It's a lot to say about this kid, man. This kid is that. He's basically set fire to the recruiting class also. And it's finna get funky, and they finna hate, they finna cry, they finna call they finna be like, hey, President Trump. They already talking to Trump.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. I didn't have that on the docket. because I kind of forgot. But
yeah, hey, man,
since you brought that up, man.
And I'm gonna tell you, I know we probably discussed this before. Miami, not the school spending the money like that. Like they all, but every time it's brought up, they say Miami. And I'm like, well, damn, Miami not even the school that's spending the money. But
right.
It's just crazy. So yeah, we got Nick, man. How y'all feel about Nick? How like
Hey, so go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so and I'm ecstatic. What gets me the whole thing was, so I was listening to somebody else. I was listening to another journalist or a podcast or whatever the case may be, and kind of find out like that wasn't even supposed to happen. Like all of the players there was just announcing their name and what class they was in and what school they went to, and everybody was handing the mic, and it was like Martin, like nobody knew he was gonna commit to Miami. Like everybody was like, oh, like what the hell? Like nobody knew that was gonna happen. So that was a shock to everybody.
You can feel that from the video. Like I was like, wait, ain't nobody know that shit was happening. Like,
yeah, nobody knew that was happening. So I'm ecstatic, man. We get to keep the top wide receiver in the state of Florida home. People been begging for something like this, and it's came to fruition. It's like we finally really, really turned the corner. When it comes to like recruiting and all that stuff now, when it comes to certain kids like this type, like a Nick Lanier, who would possibly go to Alabama or to Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? We know that. So it was like for us to keep him, and then like we're trending for other guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm happy, man. This is all I've been wanting to see the past 20 some odd years that we've just been like, golly, we let this one get away. Man, we let this one get away. Man, we let this one get away. And it seemed like the last 2 years we've gotten the best wide receiver in the state. You know what I'm saying? And it's only going to go up from here. So I'm happy.
Yeah, you know, we giving them something to stay home for now, right? Like the negative recruiting stuff is, you know, and you know, that gets questioned. But what's negative recruiting? What's just the truth? I mean, it's going to be a little bit of both, right? So there was a lot of truth to what was going on with the program, the standard of the program, the facilities. You know, we'll be done with the IPF upgrades, supposed to be pretty much late spring, early summer. So, you know, the 70 yard jokes, now those don't slap the same. You know, you're looking at just top notch facilities, right? We didn't have it. We just didn't. Just Miami being cheap. Miami just saying we always won without it. We always been behind the curve on all of that stuff, and they just didn't care. And then it took what we did now, right? So now it's at a different level, and you got something to really sell these kids. So, you know, like X was speaking on earlier, he's a Miami Hurricane by birth. You know, y'all saw the video of him running around when he was playing Ole Miss. I mean, he clearly was all Kane. And then, you know, I heard that after we lost to Indiana, man, he shed tears. Like, he was upset. I was close, and I don't get emotional. I really don't get emotional about sports like that. I really, really don't. And I was a little heartbroken on that. So I understood the kid. So that to me, speaks to kids. It's just, you know, they don't come around a lot. It's kind of rare. I think especially more in South Florida, where it's just like, this is who I am and this is where I'm going. And then now the decision is that much easier. We just play for the net. You got a coach that's serious. You got a program that's serious. So the negative recruiting that you can try to do against Miami is pretty tough to do at this point. Like, it's not a lot you can poke holes at except the ACC title thing. And we all agree that's pretty much in the bag this year. I'm going to say it confidently. I would be shocked if we didn't bag up the ACC title this year. I think A, we're the best school, and B, the schedule just sets up for it. I just don't see how we wouldn't. But Nick himself, you know, they got him listed at 5'11 and a half. I don't know if he's a little closer to 6 or he's a little closer to 5'10. But it don't really matter just the way he plays. His game kind of reminds me of Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco. When I watch him out there, just great feet, great concentration of hands. Playmaker. He just gonna get it, just like X saying, like, and which what you need, right? Like, so there, you know, I saw I forget bro name, but he does a lot of film study, white dude with the glasses. I don't forget his name. I think it's Brandon something or whatever. And he did a little clip about who would you take, Jeremiah Smith or Tony. And he was like, I don't know, man. I might take 10. Yeah. He was like, I might take Tony. And yeah, part of the reason was saying that was just like, just playmaking ability. And when you think about what Malachi did, like, there was just moments after moment after moment. Like, you know, the game where he almost got tackled, you know, but he just kept his balance and just keep driving forward and get a first down. The fact that he could throw the football. So when you get just playmakers upon playmakers upon playmakers, now you got a team that's, you know, damn near unstoppable. So that's what I really see in Nick Lanier, is just yet another playmaker. I don't expect him to throw the football, but I just expect him to be a guy that, you know, can come in and contribute, honestly, very early. And I think he's a guy that, you know, may start a little bit, playing a little bit at the outside. I think after Malachi going, slide him inside. And, you know, as long as it's Shannon Dawson offense, our slots thrive, right? That's just what it is. So another attractive feature for him. So, yeah, super excited, man. I think another good one in the boat, another narrative eraser. And just signs of what's going on with the program, like, you know, the PTSD ought to be washing off y'all a little bit more every single day.
Yeah,
like, it's time to be confident now, man. It's time to quit being scary, bro.
Yeah, man. And go back. I'm gonna go back to like when you were speaking on about the IPF. Once we got that bill, I think we had one of the best in the nation. You know what I'm saying? Because of the simple fact of how it was structured. People want to joke about, oh, it's not even 100 yards. I mean, it's a practice field. Like, it don't need to be 100 yards. It's a practice field. Like, it's not a game. We got an actual 100-yard field that we
right outside.
Like, it never made sense. But guess what? When all the NFL players come in to train, where they come in to train at? They come in to train right there at Miami IPF. Right. They not clowning about the, oh, it ain't 100 feet.
This ain't up to par, yeah.
They like, man, this is a good facility. They get right. They got the weight room right there on the side where they can just go into the weight room right after that. They got a cafeteria right there where they can. It's like, what are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? So,
to not cut you off, but that's just the trolls. I'm just saying the trolls going away. I never thought it was nothing wrong with no 70 yard indoor practice facility. What's wrong? Like I say, you run situational stuff in there and they only want to use it for like real practice when the weather doesn't permit. Like, that's not a core practice place because they want them in the elements to get conditioned and to, you know, the heat and all that and that bring that element into the game playing out there in the grass. So that was never a thing. It's just the trolls they can get off. But the trolls, like I say, the trolls getting slim, man.
Ain't going to have nothing, but y'all ain't got no stadium.
Yeah, that's it. That's the last one.
Don't care about that. We play.
But see, yeah, if I say even that one's getting old. You can't even, man, like we'd be like, haha, y'all ain't got no stadium. Okay, cool. Like we don't even care about that no more.
We got one in Gainesville.
Yeah. And Tallahassee. Yeah. Dope North. Yeah. Pull up in we got Hard Rock North.
Yeah, several properties. Sad business, yep. Y'all understand that. You just got your little house. You got several properties, man.
Or the other, I guess the last show they're going to use is, and I think a lot of teams we play, they use this. No, I overlook it because I'm like, well, I don't care. They're like, oh, well, you ain't even go to Miami. I'm like, okay.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Point is,
yeah, like, shoot. I ain't play. Hey, I didn't play for my NFL team, but I like them. So like, right. like, come on, man, exactly. We fans. Like, come on, be for real.
And you know, it's funny who does those. Who I normally see that from is Florida State fans, and I'm like, bro, I got an honorary Florida State degree. All the papers I wrote for all them dumb motherfuckers I used to work with. I promise you, it's not the flex you think it is. It's not a high learning institution. A Florida State degree don't slap like a Miami degree. I promise you that. It's not the same. It's a public school, bro. Like, it's kind of hard not to get into Florida State. If you live in Florida and you want to go to Florida State, you're probably getting in, especially right now with the way the football team is. The applications are being accepted left and right. They taking down to anybody.
Easy.
So yeah, it ain't the flex y'all think that is. But so otherwise, and other recruiting news though, we're trending really well for a lot of people. I think what this does for recruiting, in y'all opinion, I think in the past we've kind of had to wait a little bit and worry about flipping and trying to build late momentum. I think this helps build early momentum. What's y'all thoughts on that?
Well, what happened is this is the this class, this 27 class, is the class that Mario approached when he first got to Miami. Mm-hmm. A lot of these kids was young. It was like ninth grades and stuff like that. So Mario already had built a relationship with the local ones.
Right.
He already most likely had built a relationship with them. So, you know, when you talking about the Mark Matthews, the Nick Deniers, he already had built those relationships once he got to Miami. You know what I'm saying? So it just kept building. And now they had an opportunity to say, okay, let's see what he does.
Exactly.
Instead of it being, okay, the kid is a senior and he's saying, well, let's see what Miami does. Well, he already got Miami up. You know what I'm saying? So the kids
great
had
point.
A good 3 to 4 years to see what Miami does. Miami goes to the playoffs, national championship, almost won it. Oh, yeah. So Mario is telling the truth about what his vision was. And I'm going to say this, and this is true. I know everybody probably said it already, but the Malachi Toney effect really hit hard in South Florida. It hit super hard because now kids are literally saying, I can go to Miami and do just what Malachi did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a big thing that, like, I hear from kids all over. I don't even want to say this online, but it'd be kids that be sorry be saying it too. I'd be like, okay. As long as you got hey, man, keep your faith. You know what I'm saying? But it's there. Like, they be like, well, I could go to Miami. I could do what Malachi did.
Yeah.
And it's not just about Miami. They saying they know how Malachi have became such a celebrity, man. He's just a major figure in South Florida right now.
Right, right.
That's like, man, who don't want to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
who don't
kids, yeah, the kids too. You got to think. So all that stuff look, you know, fun. Yeah. But they got to remember, you got to work like Malachi too.
Got to work.
You got to work like him. He's a different beast when it comes to his work, man.
Got to work. A lot of, like, I had some kids the other day, man, telling me about Reuben Bain. I guess Reuben Bain went and spoke with some kids at the school, and he was like, I guess. They say, man, at Reuben Bain practice, you know, when practice is over, Reuben Bain spends a whole hour after practice still practicing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, man, shoot, if you want to be like that, that's what we got to do.
Yeah, you got to keep going.
If you want it, you're going to do everything that nobody else is doing. You know what I'm saying? Just look at Reuben Bain, Malachi Toney. You know, these are the type of players that Miami is getting, that Mario is getting. Man, this recruiting thing finna jump so crazy. Y'all saying we trending. I see the list. It was a list about the top 3 players in the state of Florida. People were saying, well, Miami going to get, I don't know who's first or second.
Matthews is first.
Matthews, Lanier,
and then Henderson.
Okay, yeah. Mark Matthews is first. Kane, Nick Nanair, he's already committed. Henderson, before I didn't think we had opportunity. We had an opportunity with him. Texas A&M was all over that. I thought that was just going to be one of those quick fix with Texas A&M. He came on the visit on 305 weekend, and I got so much positivity from that. And I say I'm not ready to just jump all the way with Miami, but I think right now Miami is leading. You know, so he still have other opportunities because he's going to go visit other schools. But I think right now, as of now, yeah, Miami is in the driver's seat, and that's the big one I'm hoping for Coach Heidemann, because you know I've been waiting for Heidemann to land one of those dogs at linebacker. So I'm like, hey, let's go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's in a sense a must get. In that sense of what you're saying, like. A top-notch linebacker, one of the best in the state, and with Heidemann being the linebacker's coach. And you know, I think I mentioned, I know I have like a few shows back. I was like, it's been a while since we had just like that real deal playmaking, like national name linebacker. Like we've had, our linebacking room is a hell of a lot better than it was under Mario, than previous regimes, really, until you go back to Shaq and Pinkney. And then it was like a previous to that was some hits. Then it was like, but then after those guys, we had another fall off. It's been a minute since we had that guy that was like a surefire first round linebacker, I think is what I mean when I say that. So I think for him, and for us as a program, that's kind of the most must-get player to me out of the bunch, because, like you said, we made some headway. Shit lit right now. Like I said, Miami is a, you know, these kids are seeing everything you said earlier about they've been talking to them since eighth, ninth grade, and now it ain't. Now you got proof of concept. Everything he said, oh shit, okay, Cole wasn't just talking that talk. He actually turning this thing around. Them boys are playing for a natty. Man, shit, they get me. We going to take that. We going to get that natty. You know what I'm saying? That changes, you know, that changes a lot of mindset. So I agree with yeah, this. I'd like to see him land that big fish right there. That would be a big one for him and for the program, because, yeah, his film disgusting. He's that.
Once I watched his film, I was like, man, boy, like how much they need to go to the Moss brothers or whoever, but how much? How much? Just get it up. But yeah, he liked that. Like you say, we haven't had that type of linebacker in a long time. I'm talking, and we talking about the traditional Hurricane linebackers that we was used to seeing, you know what I'm saying? Going back to the Ray Lewis's and John Beeson's and the John Thomas, right. And you know,
right. A traditional Hurricane linebacker. when we had the top of the top guys, like I said, guys that was gonna go in that first, he in that mold to me. When I see him, I'm like, okay, yeah, I could definitely see where he could fall in that. Even to like his stature, he just, you know, they only got him listed at like 6'1". That's kind of a traditional Miami Hurricane linebacker. It's not necessarily these towering 6'3" guys, you know, like Alabama would have.
And he's young, so he could probably still have another little growth spot.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, he might jump again.
Growth spurt. Another guy, man, who I think I'm very high on, I think we're going to flip, is Jalen Brewster. I guess they got him listed as the number one defensive lineman.
Out of Texas. Yeah,
he committed to Texas Tech. Now, yeah, we all know that's gonna be a money thing now, man. But he did enjoy. He's another one that loves Miami. And he sees what the defensive line is doing. Shouts out to Damian Lewis and JT. I just think a lot of players in high school, that once they hearing Jason Tater name, they saying, man, I got to go play for this guy. You know what I'm saying? Look what he just did with these.
With the pudding, man.
Dory and Bain. He's a Hall of Famer. I got to go. You know what I'm saying? So he's one I think Miami could flip.
We got two D-line coaches.
Yeah.
Another bonus. So you got an interior guy and you got your edge guys. So,
the Jalen Brewster, I seen two of the insiders said, watch Florida closely. I guess it's like a family thing. It's like, well,
Christ, man. I hear you,
bro. I'm just telling you what I read. I meant to put that in the chat because he was just on a visit.
I seen some say, oh yeah, watch Florida, but this kid, he's a money thing. You know what I'm saying? Florida's not finna pay that money.
I mean, you'll pay coaches respect. We'll see, because like you said, if it's a tie, but at the end of the day, you know, business is business. So it gets to a point where it's like, you know, we lost out on kids because business is business, even before it was money. Jeremiah Smith, business is business. He's looking at what Ohio State's consistently doing. Well, hometown, man, I really want to stay. I really ain't hooping at a level I want to see. It wasn't money then. So business could be, you know, business on a sense of where I see things going for me. And Florida is but you. So, I mean, maybe he makes that move.
And he also wants to play his first year. So you got to look at that. You know what I'm saying? Is Florida bringing back interior D linemen? Yes. Is Miami bringing back interior D linemen? Not anybody outside. We already know Moten, Scott. No, they probably leave.
Yeah, it'd be done. This Moten last year eligibility, I believe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is it for him.
So you're just thinking like, oh, well, I could go and step in and play that. But yeah, I've been getting some good news about that one too. The DJ Jacobs, that's still going to go down to signing day, man. Ohio State got him, but you know Miami's still going to jump. You know what I'm saying? And try to land that one right there. Who else? Let me see. KJ Green. He's another one who I think Miami could get. But I think the way his body framed, the only thing about that, well, you know, maybe he could get in the strength and condition program and put some weight on. I just be looking at the kid's body frame and see if they can, okay, are they going to be able to gain 20, 30 pounds and stuff like that? So I see his body. I'm like, man, maybe he might not gain that much. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if that's the type of D lineman, defensive end we want, but never know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a I can't tell the future. He might go up 250. You never know. You know what I'm saying? Another player. I think everybody already saw the KJ Caldwell kid. I think they already said something about we probably gonna land him, right? Somebody said something like they.
I think Will Fong, one of them dropped the crystal ball for KJ Caldwell.
He's another top safety. He liked that. I think so the top safety out of California, he's supposed to commit on the 14th. I think, you know, most likely he's gonna probably stay out West Coast. Miami did make a push. They trying to get him down on a visit, but you know, hey, here we go. You know, he'll probably stay out there out west. So we could get KJ Caldwell. And Florida State got a safety that's committed to them that's a possibly flip candidate also. Anybody that's good on their recruiting thing, we just gonna take it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's funny because you bring up Flavia Johnson or whatever. And D-Rob, you know, I remember in the group chat, like you expressed like, you know, you didn't think. And I agree, like, I don't think that's an early commit. I think that'll have to be a Hayden Low type situation. I think USC is trying to do what they did last year, right? Which is load up huge class, a lot of top talent. Number one class. They paid a lot of money for that class. That's kind of what it's talking about. Like, we keep getting brought up, but USC spent a lot of money to have that number one class because they want the optics of it that USC is coming back and everything. So we just going to see how I play because, like I said in the chat, to me, this is and I don't think I'm alone in this. I think this is a hot seat year for Lincoln Riley. They investing way too much money. They're not paying this money for 84.
I forget his name. Well, him and Texas coach
Sarkisian.
On the hot seat. Why you think they both of those schools is doing everything in their power to try to win now? Because they finna get the boot.
If somebody got to get it done. You don't put all that money in the program to you know, like I say, go 8-4, 9-3, and you know, fall short in any of the big games. So for UFC, you know, the Big Ten, like for what it's worth, it's got its top heavy teams, a lot of these bottom heavy teams, it's just kind of like SEC, like nobody don't talk about them. Like, you know, Purdue, the schedule ain't that crazy to where they're not expecting big things out of him. So I think, yeah, he commits on the 14th. I'm quite sure it's going to be USC. But just knowing who our coach is, they ain't going to quit until there's just no point in it no more. So we'll see how it all ultimately shake out. I don't have much faith in Lincoln Riley. I think he's done this year. And like X say, anything on Florida State, that's pretty much fool. Mike a dead man walking. You know, they're just trying to burn off a little bit of that payout, man. Florida State gonna be bad again this year.
That boy's a zombie. It'll
be six games, and that's still right. You're a zombie right, walking around. That's not gonna get it. You know, that's just not the standard. So he'll be going too. So we'll see how that all ultimately shakes out. The class right now sits at five players. We got a safety committed in Jalen Jones. He's a guy I like.
Love him. Love him.
He committed a long time ago. I almost forgot about him.
He can play some football, man. He's one of those. You just got it. You need on your team. So I compare him to James Lewis. I don't know if y'all guys remember him. Remember James Lewis? He played on the national championship team.
Yeah.
Remember number 23? He was the one who got the interception in the Nebraska game. Ran
from yeah.
I compare him to him because he was, you know, James Lewis was just playing around great players.
Right.
People forgot, like, he was good. You know what I'm saying? So I compare him to that. He's a playmaker. He going, you know what I'm saying? He going to hit you. He going to go get the ball if they need it. And he's fast. You know, that's the one thing about it. He got some speed, you know what I'm saying? And we know in the way our defense plays, safeties be locked up man-to-man with receivers. So I love him. I love him, man.
Yeah, and he got
okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just running through the rest. So it's only five deep. DeMarcus DeRoach, they got him listed as – he going to play tight end for us, though, right?
Yeah, he's going to play tight end.
Yeah, well, they got one page they got him listed as athlete on the commit list. They got him listed as an edge, but yeah, he's gonna play tight end for us. You got Amari Stevens, wide receiver out of Chaminade Madonna,
Bass.
Another one that committed a while ago. That you kind of forget too. So, and then Zaquan Linton, offensive lineman, offensive tackle.
The only one I got, I'm questionable about. Staff like him, but from what I've seen, he gonna need a lot of work.
Got a lot of work to get to. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is gonna probably be a smaller class. You know, we probably only take two tackles this cycle with Matthews.
Not tackles in the nation,
right? So yeah, he could possibly get squeezed this early. You know, and you know they're big on senior evaluations too, so they're gonna watch him.
He might move to guard because he's not a tackle at all. He's not a tackle. His feet aren't good enough for him to be a tackle.
Makes sense. So they asked me what the class is right now. It's 14th overall in the nation right now. You know, momentum ain't really start building yet. That's why I think the Lanier thing was big. And I think you could see a guy like Matthews probably commit earlier than
– Yeah, Matthews commit. He going to commit in the summer. So – Those top guys commit, a lot of them commit after spring and summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you're going to start seeing, like, even a lot of schools are going to start getting momentum with recruiting. Because what's happening is now the kids, you know, mostly all the kids are trying to get in school early. So they just trying to get it over with. So
by trying to get that bag.
By December come, man, they could be like, oh, yeah, I'm off to college. You know what I'm saying? And like you say, get to the money.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, some people got their thoughts about that where it could be negative or whatever, but I look at it in this sense. If you can do it academically, you can qualify. But people worry about the physical part of it. I'm like, all that does, though, is get them in a college strength and conditioning and nutrition program a year early. So I really don't see the negative in it. If you're not ready to play, you ain't going to play. You'll just redshirt. They'll get you bulked up. You'll get every opportunity to get on campus, start seeing how these guys work, start seeing how they study film. It's all positives to me. I don't see where you really could lose with the early reclass unless you get in a situation where, you know, you want to go to this school, but they wasn't ready to take you this cycle because of how their numbers worked out. Like, tell who we lost last year, went to UNC.
UNC? Or you talking about, what's his name? That point to Florida. Was it
UNC? Nah, he committed.
Oh, no, Kent Dobson?
Dobson.
Oh, Dobson. Okay.
Dobson. Yeah, Dobson was a guy that I think, yeah, we wanted. I think Miami wanted for sure. I just think they wanted him in this
class.
And not the one he was coming in on, because they invested a lot in the secondary previously with the transfer portal. So I think that was a big part of it, was like, not yet, and not at that dollar right now, because we don't have it. You know, it's a business. We don't have that allocated for you right now. So will that be a mistake? Even is, I really don't see it as a mistake, because guess what? Go get your money. If you don't like it at UNC, transfer. But at least you're a year ahead to the money. You're a year ahead to training. Getting your weight up. Learn how to watch film. He's going to learn under Belichick. It's kind of hard to beat that. You know, one of the best coaches ever. A defensive-minded guy, too. So, yeah, I'm really all for it. Like I said, if you can qualify, man, go ahead. Go ahead and get your foot in the door and get to working. Worst case scenario, you know, worse off, because you just would have been a senior in high school. So now you a freshman in college, you know, getting in the books, getting in the film room, getting in the weight room. You know, nothing negative I can see really all around.
The red shirt freshman, you get your red shirt, yeah, but right. You got college with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You waste it. You got something, because you got, like you say, strength, condition.
Yeah, man. You're getting your body together. And you a year ahead of the guys that's waiting to come in next year to, you know, learn how to train, study, workouts. Like, you already in it. So you coming in next year like a sophomore, like you already been through this 1 year, even though you may have retained a red shirt that year, you didn't play. So now here's where you really get a chance to compete.
Yeah.
Not just learn. So
another big thing is, remember, schools get new coaches. So what happens if a new coach for your position comes in? Now you know what I'm saying? You got a head start.
Right.
You equal with the senior now, because it's a new coach. But
yeah, nobody. Yeah. He don't know everything. Yeah. He got to see. I think early thoughts is, I think we'll land the top five class this year. I believe that's in the books. I'm be confident on that one this year too. I think
one, man.
We had it. What, his was it his first year? Did we get top five or second year?
I think it was the second year, because that's when we had Okunlola, Francis. That's when we had those guys.
Yeah.
Second year was top five.
But you know what's funny too, and I won't stay on this so we can move along, is it's just like X saying, we ain't necessarily spending the most. We're spending money. But with regardless to that and having the top class, people, like you mentioned plenty of times, forget the transfer portal class and what the impact is there. And just what I've always been a big proponent for, evaluations. I think they've done a great job at evaluations. Keontae Scott wasn't supposed to be what he was. Evaluations. He had a relationship with the previous coach. You know, he had a bad year the year before. On paper, he was out of position. You know, we know that now. The hype wasn't there. Jacoby Thomas. Yeah, he was going to start at Tennessee, but they still didn't necessarily think he was going to be everything he was. And Miami swooped in and said, nah, we got to get that. We'll take that. We'll drop that bag off and let you run and get to the, and look what he's done. Now he's become a draftable guy, and probably a fairly highly draftable guy, you know, from what I'm hearing early. So they've done just a great job in that regard. So we'll pivot. Like I said, we did get a chance to record, but had to scrap it. So we'll kind of touch on the new hires. So you have running backs coach Fabian Upshaw. He's working already, out on the trail already. You see him on social media. I was like, all right, he's fully invested in the spirit of this job and being a part of promoting everything Miami. He actually from right around where I'm living at right now. I think he's from Titusville, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm I'm right.
Yeah, he's from Titusville.
Yeah, I'm right around the corner from him. So, in the Brevard County, basically. So, he back home in the state of Florida. A guy that just came from coaching at the Broncos. He was working with wide receivers there, running backs there, excuse me. And then if you go previous to that, his experience goes to Tulane. So he was a Tulane grad assistant, QB coach in that role. He was with the Broncos for 3 years, number one. So he's been a part of that organization for the last 3 years. And he was the guy that they took as a L in not being able to retain him. But, you know, obviously this is a great opportunity for himself. Then previous to Lane, he was a running back coach. So, yeah, after that situation moves over to to that situation, he's a running back coach at Georgia Southern, where he also played. He was running back coach for those guys. They were averaging 192 yards a game. So, you know, a potent running game attack. So for those who, you know, had a little bit of like, well, he's a, you know, he worked with quarterback coaches. His quality control at the NFL, which, you know, I'll be first to admit, I'm not 100% on what quality control at the NFL level really may or may not be. So I think that's why some people had questions about, like, why are we hiring this guy? Who's he worked with? He doesn't sound like he has a position, but I think they use that title to add additional coaches, basically. So your quality control.
That's all it is.
Right, but he worked with the running backs.
He basically the coach that writes down the negatives and the positives of the position that he's coaching. So if he's the running back quality to control, he's writing down, okay, this running back got in and he did this on this play.
Gotcha.
But he didn't do this on this play.
Right, missed assignment. So like plus and minus, I got you. Yeah, like, oh, you missed your block here. You missed your hole here. Yeah. Oh, this was a great play. Yeah, I got you.
Most of the time, those guys be guys who knows like either offense or defense when you say they quality control because they like, okay, well, he didn't do this. This is how the play's supposed to go.
Right. Which is, I mean, awesome. You need a guy like that that can study film like that because that's what puts you in a situation where he can truly then take that and use those as learning moments. Like, hey, this is where you messed up and see how this play got blown up because your miscue here or how this play went well because you did do exactly what you were supposed to do. Where, you know, so it gets a guy that has the fine points of the game, you know, and obviously it ain't going to hurt to learn under Sean Payton, one of the better offensive minds ever at the pro level. So, and then, like I said, and he played quarterback at FIU and Southern, you know, he was running like option stuff at first, or for Southern, but, you know, QBs have the advantage of kind of knowing everything, right? Like a bit of an overview of everything. So my kind of overall take on the Upshaw hire was.
And you know, he's a, I think I said it, you know, on the last show that, you know, we ain't put out, but he's, you know, he's probably most likely looking at potentially being the future OC if Dawson does leave. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why he's here. He's learning. He's going to learn.
Which something we've been asking for, right?
He's like, going to learn that office to keep, you know what I'm saying, the office going the same way where it don't have to say, we got to put in a whole new system.
Right. Establishing identity, you know, and that's something that we as a fan base been kind of, you know, us who kind of get deep into it was like, yeah, but what if, you know, Shannon does go? Because his name circulates around. You know, X ain't the best interviewer, so we might have a while. But hey, maybe one year he knock it out of the park. Maybe he get a coach to teach him how to interview, and he's gone, right? So, you know, I like what we got going offensively. I don't want to change it all up. I don't want to see a complete 180 from what we got going. So this could be a perfect opportunity for a guy with some NFL chops, have been around some, you know, been around the game. Young mind, I'm always for the younger guys. You know, I'm like, hey, look, it gets to a point where you got to stop recycling these coaches and start over, right? So all these coaches can't keep being 57, 58 years old. It's time to get a, you know, it's time for them to step to the side. You know, there's a few exceptions, but it's time for, you know, these young guys, these 30-year-old dudes to finally get their opportunity to shine. I mean, hell, you got McVay in the NFL, you know, won the Super Bowl before he's 40. You know what I mean? Like, and had a chance at it again this year. So I'm all for letting these young guys get an opportunity. So maybe Upshaw could be that guy. So with that said, yeah, once, you know, we said it on the show, you wasn't really going to know. We could throw all these names out. It's like, bro, we not going to know. But for the fun of, you know, content and just having conversation, let's throw these names out. So none of the names we called out, and then we get Upshaw. All right, so my initial reaction is, like most Canes fans, who's this? I didn't dump on him, though, like a lot of y'all did. I was like, yeah, well, all right, y'all knew who Matt Merritt was, too. Like, get the hell out of here. Y'all didn't know who that dude was. You were not excited about him either, but you weren't disappointed in what we had in the running game in general. So once I got to do a little research on him, I'm going to give it a – if I had to give it, like, a letter, I'm going to give it a B-plus higher. I think this was a really good direction to go. You know, young black guy, out of the state of Florida, you know, from he from Central Florida like me. So he played for Mario too. That was the other thing. Yeah, that was the initial connection with FIU. So he, you know, I hope he ain't no secret gator on the low. Actually, I'll be honest with you, in this area, I see a lot more like Canes fans than one maybe might expect, because I'm Central Florida, but you know, we from my house to the stadium is like 2.5 hours straight from the door to door. I can get from my house to the stadium in like 2.5 hours. So there's actually a decent amount of Canes fans around here. So he might be a Canes fan too. But yeah, I think all around, you know, getting to understand his background. And one thing we know about Mario is that process, that interview process is going to be something different. So if he likes him, I like him. Let's go. I think the only time we didn't like it is really when he first put his squad together, and then he scrapped all of that. You know, when he was transitioning, coming over here, and I don't think he really went through his normal process.
Remember that one, you just said it. He recycled coaches. He brought in coaches who was already in their 50s, old.
Right.
And he brought in the OC, I forget his name. Who?
Yeah, Maryland. Oh, I think he might still be in Maryland.
That's about the only thing. You see, he just one of the best coaches in the NFL right now at his position, coach of DN. He was at Miami, you know what I'm saying? So Mario's doing a good job of hiring guys.
That's why we're losing them. That's why we're losing them now. Merritt to the NFL. You know, we're still waiting on the DB coach to be hired to take what's his name? Zach.
Yeah, Zach. It's something, how you pronounce it, man.
What is it? Etheridge. Yeah, Zach Etheridge. Yeah. I'm getting old. I can't remember shit. Yeah, Zach Etheridge, another guy that's going to the NFL. So yeah, you know, that's kind of the cost of business. And that's not new at Miami either. That's tradition, honestly. If you go back and look at them teams that was kicking ass, man, all them guys end up being NFL coaches. And many of them end up being NFL head coaches.
Head coaches, yeah.
Yeah, like you have, we have a lot. Go back and look. If you don't know, just go back and look at some of them old rosters and see how many guys that came through Miami and then went on.
That's the whole Jimmy Johnson whole coaching staff. Them guys,
yeah, bro, that's a lot. That's why I say you can't even really get into it. Just if you want to know and you don't know, you're a younger fan and you ain't familiar with some of that time, go look it up. You'll see a lot of guys that ended up going on to have you know, great NFL careers at that. So again, maybe another sign of things getting back to what we like to see him be. And then you just trust in the coach. So after that, We recently just they just announced to hire Mike Vitti, I'm assuming it is, from Army. You know, here we go again. Oh, man. Who was the? He never even coached tight ends before. All right. I heard, I think it was, might have been Pata. Somebody I recently heard say, he ain't the only person I heard say it, but basically they said, if you coach O-line, you coach anything. So, you know, you go get this guy, right, who is played at Army, right? So you got that factor in it, and coached at Army for quite some time, right? So you go back his playing days. He played when did he actually play? He actually ended up playing for the Bills for a little bit, like practice squad. Oh, he played for Army 2004 to 2007, right? Then he was an undrafted free agent, went to Buffalo, played like a little practice squad. And then after that, he ended up circling back around to coaching in 2016. So he's been with Army since 2016. From 2016 to 2022, he was a fullbacks coach, which, you know, they run options. So, like, a fullbacks is really kind of like, you know, running backs in the way that they run their offense. And then after that, he went from 2022 to now, he's been the offensive line coach for Army. And then now he is obviously been hired as our
new tight end coach.
New tight ends coach. You know, I think you just gotta look at it kind of in the same mold of I trust Mario. Didn't know what he doing.
Well, listen, I'm all for it because the way our tight ends blocked last year, I'm like, man, get somebody in there to teach them guys how to block. Learning how to run the route is easy, man, but teach them how to block.
Exactly. And that's the positive. That's what I think a lot of people missing on with the offensive line background is the blocking ain't been, you know, it wasn't what we liked. Even if you look at an Elijah Arroyo, love his route running ability, and I think that's what's holding him back right now in the NFL. He's second round pick. I mean, he just technically won the ring, but he ain't see the field nearly as much as I think his abilities would be allow him to if he until he can learn to block better. If he gonna play at Seattle under this coach, he gonna have to get his blocking game up, or he ain't gonna see the field. That's just what it is. I guarantee you, he's a more talented route runner, ball catcher than the guy playing in front of him. I think it's like AJ Barner right now is the guy playing in front of him, but you can't block, man. You can't see that field in that particular type of offense. So yeah, that's a great point. I think a military guy, he's ex-military himself, served. I believe he did time over in Afghanistan. So I like bringing in, like that hard edge, hard nose, kind of tough guy coach. I don't know if we got that quite kind of guy on the staff right now. I don't know if I would say there was that dude with that particular edge to him on the staff. Nobody comes to mind.
Interesting. I'm thinking which coach we got on that staff like that.
I think we got great teachers, great recruiters. But
yeah, I mean, outside of Mario.
Right. Yeah. So I think, yeah, exactly. Good point. I think he'd be little mini Mario. You know what I mean? Somebody to kind of echo some of the sentiment. And I think we want to see that tight end room, like you know, leaned into earlier, get tougher. You know, you got these big boys, right? You know, we got a Gavin Mueller, everybody ranting and raving about. You know, it's a 6'6", 260-pounder. All that's good and well. But if he can't block, that's not, you know what I mean? It's not a tight end. It's not a tight end. That's part of your job. That's literally like half of your job is to be able to block and, you know, go out there and make runs, run routes and make catches and make plays. So, yeah, all of that's not worth anything to me if you're a liability in the blocking game, and we saw what happened in the national title game. So
yeah, and then like, what's, I mean, why not have an extra O-line coach? Now you got three O-line coaches who know how to coach O-line. I mean, we know Mario like to run the ball. You know what I'm saying? We know Dawson will run the ball at times. So it's like, why not? You know what I'm saying? He go out there and help the O-line and the tight end. Because when they had practice, you know, the tight end's out there running routes for the receivers. So
right, exactly. I was about to say, so the route running refinery, they can do all that with the receivers coach. I think, and then, you know, just like I said earlier, they say if you can coach O-line, you can coach anything. So what he lacks in specific tight end coach ability, which, again, I think the biggest part really is the blocking part. That's what I think you really – that's what I need my tight end coach to be able to really drill into his players. Like, he can run the routes with the receivers. They're going to run the same, get the same lines, do all that stuff with those guys. I need somebody who can really spend the time with getting in there and teaching them to find techniques, because you got to think blocking is different for every position, right? So running back blocking assignment is very different, and how he has to set up for blocks is very different than what a tight end. Tight end is on that line half the time, unless we split him out wide, but there's a lot of time he's lined up on the end of that line. There's a different type of blocking that comes along with that. So if you got a guy that's been coaching O-line, he knows how to teach the center how to block, the guards how to block, and both tackles how to block. So he's very well versed in blocking techniques, and he was a fullback coach. So I think that's probably going to be the biggest strength. And that stuff goes so underrated until it ain't there. Like, you know, you go, nobody really want to talk about the kicker till the kicker can't kick. We won't think about the punter till the punter can't punt. If I don't really know him like that, that's kind of a good thing. Like, if I can't really talk about that, them positions, that means they're doing an awesome job. I mean, I ain't really even thinking about that because I know they automatic. They're doing what I need them to do. And I would like to think that my tight ends are going to be such an asset in that game that I never have to worry about that. So I like it. I like it all in all. You know, I think he's still got a lot to learn, but I think he's coming to the right place, and I think the right position to have an ability to learn. I don't expect that much from my tight ends coach. You know, I know we want
to. We listen, man, you being Hurricane fans long enough to know you him as just being a tight end hub. So it's like,
yeah, right.
Damn coach is, man.
Yeah, just, yeah. I expect him to keep coming.
Yeah.
I worried at all about his recruiting relatability, his ability in that respect.
I'm 50-50 with it because he's a you know, a military guy.
Right.
So I don't want him to approach the kids like that.
right.
But then I'm like,
he's a Northeastern guy too. He's from Pennsylvania.
You know, Mario don't hire guys who can't recruit. You know what I'm saying?
So right.
I'm 50-50 with it.
Be interesting, yeah. I'd like to see, and maybe that's part of the play, is he's a Northeastern guy, so maybe that's where they're looking to.
Oh, use, yeah, get those.
Extend, yeah, be able to work that corner for us a little more. So maybe he might be an excellent recruiter for all we know.
And then I think the way Mario got it set up, too, is he still got Stephen Fields recruiting the tight ends. So oh, it's okay. Like, hey, Fields going to still recruit the tight ends, but then he going to coach them. I'm cool with it. I'm like, hey.
Right. Yeah, Fields do a good job. Fields, yeah, I think, is a guy job that the kids relate to. So, yeah, I think there's great possibility there. I do like that part, the fact that he is from the Northeast. So, you know, we can play that corner. We don't go heavy up there, but there's always, you know, we've done some work in Jersey for sure. And then, you know, we got the defensive lineman out of, I think he was out of Pennsylvania as well last year. Big white kid.
What were we talking about? The one we had
flipped from Pitt. He flipped from Pitt, matter of fact. Yeah. Name escapes me right now. But I say that just to say we work that corner a little bit. So if we're doing that, you know, it'd be good to have a guy that's from up that way to have that level of relatability as well. So, yeah, yet to be seen. But before we get out of here, we can get expert opinion from my guy. Spring training going on. What's the name of two, man, that's kind of hearing some buzz early on right now? Who they talking about a little bit?
Hey, listen. I know y'all Kane fans. Listen, I know y'all Kane fans worrying about who's going to be the next quarterback for next year already. I know y'all already worrying about it. Yeah. Listen, that Coleman kid is something special. He's something special. The only knock on him is he just don't have the physicality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's never going to be big.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not going to be big.
I don't even think I want him to be big, you know what I'm saying? Because the way he played the game, but he's special. We've seen Cam Ward play, and the kid has some Cam Ward in him. He's special, man. When he throws that ball, and they love it. He puts that ball on the money. He makes some throws where you be like, oh, damn. You know what I'm saying? So I know it's a lot of Luke fans. Hey, I would love for Luke to get out there and do his thing, man. But I'm just letting you know right now, Coleman is special.
Let me ask you this, man. Since you said that, do you think next year could possibly, I'm not saying for sure, obviously, possibly the first year we don't go portal for a quarterback? Like, is Nickel enough to compete, you know, him, Nickel and Coleman, truly kind of in a position to compete next year? Or you think we're going to still have to kind of go
I think it's enough for them to compete, but the thing is, it depends on who hits the portal. You know what I'm saying? If a top quarterback does hit the portal,
You kind of got to look. Yeah.
So that's just no brainer. You know what I'm saying? You going, you know what I'm saying? If one of these guys was playing this year, then it'd be like, oh, yeah, we don't need it. But
Right.
So now it's like, okay, man, I don't even know. I don't even know the names.
Yeah, I couldn't say no names off the top of my head either.
If they one has an excellent year and then he hits the portal, you know, obviously every school going to try to get him, but if you got the opportunity to get him, you go. You know what I'm saying? I think those days are over where we expecting the kids to just, okay, next man up, he's already on the team. You know what I'm saying? Unless, you know, they playing for the team. You know, a quarterback, most likely they're not going to play.
Not going to play, right.
Okay? Yeah. So it's like, we don't know. Do we have time to take that chance? No.
Nah, everything's going well. I do think, I only brought that up because I do think they'll probably bring one in regardless. I just don't know if this one is going to necessarily automatically be the starter. Is what I would.
Yeah, nah. I mean,
my thought process early, because I've been hearing some of the great feedback on Coleman too. And again, he won't play this year, right? So this year going to be his opportunity to get stronger, put on whatever good weight he can put on in that time. You know, if he could put on 15 pounds in that year, that's a lot of good weight, right? And then that adds just to his durability. But, you know, another thing you got to think about with us, too, is he ain't going to get hit a lot, no way. And he's a true passing quarterback. So that's another reason why I don't worry too much about his frame. He's going to be protected, and he's not going to – he's not a dual threat, like, design run plays for him.
He runs. He runs the ball.
No, he can run, yeah, but we're not going to design runs.
Yeah, we're not going to say, okay, we're going to draw – yeah.
Yeah, we won't be running QB draws and you know, options where he'll be.
He might have some Carson Beck plays.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I need some mobility. He definitely, don't get me wrong. I've seen him move. He can move, and he's going to move. And when some plays break down, he's going to move. But really my concern would be learn how to either get out of bounds like Cam or learn how to hit that slide one time or absorb a hit appropriately. That's going to be just the key things. Learn how to avoid a hit or appropriately absorb a hit so he don't get hurt. But
the one thing he has to learn, and that's going to be good for him sitting and watching Mensa, is which throws to make. You know, because him being coming from the school he was at, you know, when you, you know, normally quarterbacks, we think we can make all the throws, you know what I'm saying? Any throw we look at, we think we can make it. And right. That's his mentality. He just thinks he can make every throw. And he was able to do that.
Right.
He was, you know what I'm saying? In college, you ain't going to be able to do that. So
yeah, you hear that with Nickel. That's kind of his plus and minus, but I heard he got a good mindset about it too. So yeah. What's another name early on? That sounded like returns is early in training looking good.
Well, I've been hearing some good things about Joshua Moore. I've been hearing some good things about Joshua Moore.
I'm excited about him, man.
Man, and they like they talk about he put on a little weight too. I'm like, man, if he put on more weight, like man, he already was big.
Right, careful, don't be no tight end.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I've been hearing some good things about him. I've been hearing some good things about what's the old lineman name? I keep forgetting his name. Hey, y'all always mention it.
Juan Manaya. Yeah, yeah. He's a guy.
By him, man. They say he like strong as hell. They say he's strong, man. And they say his hands, you know, his hands, once he get his hands locked on you, it's...
That's a big dude, man. If you didn't see him, I remember just catching him on the sidelines a couple of times. And, like, you know, especially when they show, like, when the boy's sitting down and it's like a close-up, I see him move by and I'm like, God damn, Naya is a big kid, man.
Listen, I've heard some great news about Lowe. Is it Low? What's the DN we flipped last year and he ended up getting hurt?
Flo. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been hearing some great things about him.
No, not Flo. I'm thinking Justin Flo from It's Low. You know why? Because I was thinking Flo. Remember we was recruiting Flo?
Yeah.
You know, he was that beast out the West Coast. So when we was thinking about the Flavia Johnson kid, I meant to mention him then, and I never brought up that point. That's why that was locked in my head. Yeah, Low. I don't know why.
Hayden Low.
That's why, yeah. Hayden Low. Yeah.
Some good things about him. They saying he once he fire off the edge, is pretty much unstoppable. But they were saying that last year, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, so to me, in all honesty, I anticipate him being a starter. And if not, a very heavy contributor. I already said before, I think it'll be a little more rotation on the ends this year anyways. But
it got to, because it's too much. It's too much, man. When you got Blunt, you got Low, you got
Lightfoot,
you got... what's the one we just transferred?
Blunt. Armando Blunt, who's going to edge and inside. I imagine they'll use him.
Guy who just transferred in.
Damon Wilson.
Yeah. Got Booker Pickett.
Got weapons. Got Third Scroggins out of Savannah. Shout out. I'm hearing a lot of great things about him. Lot,
man. So, yeah, that D-line, man, that it's going to be like that, man. And then also, you know, I've been hearing some excellent things. You know, that's the little homie, Chase Smith, man. They saying he out there looking cock diesel and, you know, he's taking the leadership role. You know,
he's always had it. He really has. He was, because he's from Manny, right? Yeah. And he was a guy we was very excited about real early on.
I don't know if he's from, is he from Manny? Or no, I think he's. Mario class. I think he came here with the transitional class.
Was chasing that one. I look at it real quick. Yeah, he's a 6-year guy. So I think he would have been, I think he was Manny last year. I think he got hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he
is hurt. Is why, because I believe we were hearing really good things about him previous to the season. Then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he gets hurt. And then then he ends up, you know, staying with Mario. So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he came in at 2021 and he played 10 games that year. So
that was Manny last year?
Yeah, Manny. I think that's Manny last year. Okay. Yeah, this year 5 for Mario. This would be his fifth season starting right here.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, he was Manny.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a Manny. He's a Manny holdover. Because I think at one point they was looking at Chase a little bit, possibly at safety.
Yes. Well,
when he first came in,
that's when he played in high school. He played safety in high school,
right?
But they was like, well, yeah, once he get to Miami, he'll slide down to linebacker.
So good eval, man, Manny. Been a while. Yeah. Good eval on that one.
Athletic, man. He can run. He's fully healthy now. Fully healthy. So yeah, him and Torrey at linebacker, I like it.
You know what would be dope? Not to cut you off, but you know what would be dope is if he has the same type of season that we ended up getting from here we go, boy. We're killing it on these names, damn. The other end opposite of Bane. Mezador.
Oh, Mezador.
That would be amazing because you gotta remember Mezador, we got him here. It was like hype. Oh, he's really, you know, this is really a kid that, you know, he came from Canada, so may have been a little under-evaluated. They was using him a little inside more in West Virginia. And then we get him, and it's like, all right, this really might be a guy. And he did some things, but then it was injury. Remember, he had to get that special shoe and everything because his foot just wouldn't quite heal up right, you know, when he get out there and practice. It would be dope if Chase Smith had that kind of season where he ended up being that linebacker that, yeah, they may be a little more iffy on him because he's a little older on taking him early, but where he elevated his play to a point where now they going, shit, I don't think we can let him get out of, you know, this second round for sure. That would be amazing. I'd love to see it, man. You know, I love to see a comeback story.
Well, Chase, one thing about Chase, too, is, like, he going to perform as far as NFL combine. He going, you know what I'm saying? It would have been different if he don't got it, but he could just play football good. No, he going to perform. Like,
he's athletic, yeah. Do the bird, going to be able to run.
Yeah, he's going to do all that. So, yeah, man, if he could have a season like that, man, that'll be good because him and Torrey coming back. So we got two veterans.
Another guy I heard a little something about. I heard Marty Brown look like they think Marty Brown unlocked a different gear. Marty look a little faster.
Yeah, I think he kind of shedded some pounds a little bit. I think from what they told me, they were like probably shedded like about 5 to 8 pounds.
Okay. He's like a 5'10", 5'11" kind of guy. Stocky bill. So I can see dropping 5 or 6. I heard, they said it looked like Marty unlocked a different gear, man. I was like, all right, hey. You know, well, he broke off that one that they should have gave him back anyways.
The thing too, man, is that running back room, you know, outside of Mark Fletcher, man, it's up for grabs for who number two.
Very competitive.
Up for grabs for who number two. You know, you could say it's Marty Brown, you could say it's Pringle, you could say it's Jordan Love, you know what I'm saying? But it's up for grabs.
Jordan Lyle.
I mean Lyle. I'm talking about Jordan Love. It's up for grabs. Like, and I think that's a good problem to have. You know what I'm saying? Because you got four running backs who you know can run that ball.
We're in a great position. I still am in awe that we got all four of those guys still on the roster. I'm like, huh? They all right. Let's see how this shape, baby. I mean, I was happy. You know, I was actually more surprised Fletcher came back. You know, if Fletcher goes, I think this thing is the picture is a lot clearer because then you really got kind of like a 1A, 1B where you would probably go with. I wouldn't even say a 1A, 1B. I think if you don't have Fletcher and Lyle's back to him, his normal healthy self, because again, he's the guy that most people think has the most upside when it's all put together. You would probably, if he's healthy, Lyle, you probably got him at one, probably got Pringle at two, and then you got Brown at three. With Brown maybe doing more spelling work early to kind of replicate a lot of what you get with that bigger back. I think the picture's a lot clearer. But now with it being four, it's really interesting. I'm very interested to see how this all shake out. And how, you know, how they able to divide us now. Because you ain't going to play four running backs.
Yeah.
You're going to play three. We played three. You know, barring the injury, hopefully nobody gets hurt. But it's a physical position, so chances are somebody can be out at least a game or two. And then you can, you know, have somebody fill in that respect too. So any other name want to get into real quick before we get out of here?
I mean, you know, everybody, I've been getting some positive things about everybody, the way they compete in. You know, obviously the coaches can't be out there. But, you know, from what I've been hearing, they're like, yeah, boy, the boys out there, it's looking like Green Tree again. You know, like where the players start taking control and holding each other accountable.
That's what it is. That's
basically what I've been hearing. But, yeah, like the names I named off, those are the names that, you know, that Coleman. Listen, man, that Coleman kid, I can't wait to see him. When he get his opportunity, man.
I think he could be it, man. I really do. I'm in that same boat with you. I really think he could be that guy. You know, and maybe as early as next year. You mentioned Cam. I see a lot of Cam in his game, man, with that arm, just the arm talent, his ability to throw off of different platforms, throw beautiful football.
His confidence. Yeah. That's all. His confidence is exactly like Cam. He just feel like he just that guy.
He is. Hey, I hope he is, man. That, you know, also be another one of those narrative killers. So if we can get that too, where, you know, not only have we got these guys drafted, even now we got one that's homegrown, home pick, you know, came up through the system. And so, you know, because that's the one angle they want to play on us right now. Oh, we don't get a young guy the chance. Which, again, I, you know, without going off on tirade, it's a meritocracy over at Miami right now. It ain't got nothing to do with year you in. If Luke Nickell would have been the best, Luke Nickell would have played. He'd played over Carson Beck. That's just what it would have been. He wasn't the best option. So that's just not what they're going to do. So, you know, it's a good angle. If I was trying to recruit against him, that's something I'd definitely use.
Man, sure. Mario has had a All-American true freshman each year he's been at Miami.
Exactly, right. You know, it's something to say. It's something to say. I get it. It's something to say. All right, man. Well, with that, we'll get up out of here. Appreciate y'all kicking it with us. We will be back. Holler at y'all in a little bit. Peace.
Peace, peace, peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.